Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Jesus in Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in heaven who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So I'm asking you to think about a practical space where there is minimal distractions, minimal kind of interruptions that happen. It's a place you actually like to go to. And this is going to sound really weird for a Pentecostal pastor to say, but if maybe what will help you is incense. You know, maybe there's a candle burning in that room, maybe incense. You know, the sense of smell, the olfactory sense, is one of the greatest senses that is used for recall of memory. And so if you have this kind of space that you use a particular, whatever your fancy is, I don't know, lavender, as Mulyadi would say, or... I'm sorry, did I just say that? I thought I was just thinking it. Lavender. Vanilla, whatever. But, you know, you just have a candle, you have just, you know, whatever that space is with the music or whatever it might be, that is a place that's inviting and warm and becomes your sacred space. And I understand it's hard when you've got kids, and it's hard when you've got little kids. When you do that, and you know, of course, ideally it would be first thing in the morning to commit your day to the Lord, ideally. But that doesn't work for everyone. The season of life you're in, don't beat yourself up over that to go, "Oh, I can't pray in the morning, I'm a horrible Christian." No, just find what works. In all of this, there are some things that are going to work for you and others won't. But find that designated place. Just label it. That's my hiding place. That's my space where I go just to hang out with Jesus. But we have a designated place. And in April, for us as a church, we're going to help create designated times and designated places for you to come so that you can develop this discipline of prayer. We're going to have a half-night of prayer, old school, like from 9 p.m. till midnight, just coming together and praying at the church offices. We're going to have, somebody's volunteered to do an early morning prayer meeting. And we'll let you know about that. And on that same night, we're going to have a night prayer meeting. So from 9 till 10 for all the late night people, there'll be somebody that'll meet at the offices from 9 till 10. And if you want to come along and be involved in that for a little bit or all of it, you can. We have our 9:30 prayer meeting on a Friday morning at the offices every week. And that's just going to continue to run always. We have pre-service prayer in this room at 9:30 on a Sunday morning where we come together and pray. We want to provide you with the time and we want to provide you with the space so that you can begin to practice this discipline of prayer. Now, if you choose not to take that up, we can't do anything about that. But the benefits of actually developing this discipline in your life are so vast and full. And so I don't know how else we can encourage you to do that. Nearly there. Number three. So first one was have a designated time, designated space, and approach it like it's a relationship. So your heart attitude of coming into that time and space is that, you know, I'm going to catch up with a really good friend. Not one of those high maintenance people that just drains you. You know, kind of like, "Oh, I've got to go and catch up with Michael. Oh, man. Oh, Jesus, help me, really." You know, not that you have any of those people in your life, and we don't, no one in this church is that, so it's great. But like, you know, it's not like that. We've got to approach the time of, I'm going to catch up with one of my best friends. I consider Jesus Christ as my best friend. And how do you go about growing and developing a relationship? How do you do that? You need to approach your time with Jesus like that. What works for you? When you go, you kind of get to know someone and you ask questions and you dialogue and you listen to them and they listen to you. That's how it's meant to work, people, by the way. It's not just you doing all the talking. It's supposed to be a dialogue, not a monologue. Getting to know someone. So if you want to get to know Jesus in a more intimate way, in a closer way, then you need to just approach that time to go, "Hey, God, no, hey, this happened today." And that's how he approaches it. I mean, he knows us better. I mean, he wants to talk to you. He wants to touch you. He sees you and he wants to hang out with you. He's waiting in that space for you. And we've got to approach that time like it's a relationship that we want to develop and grow. Not, I mean, it's not about having a theological degree to be able to progress to the next level of relationship with Jesus. That's irrelevant. It's not about what you've achieved or not achieved in life. It's relationship. That's what he's concerned about. So coming into that space is just sitting down and just going, oh, gee, I've been hanging out. I've been so looking forward just to being with you. And last week when I was in the States, it was a crazy day. The first day that I had 4 hours sleep and did all those speaking things, and I was just restless at night. And so I went down, went for a run on the treadmill, and I kind of like had my iPhone on with my worship music playing, because that works for me. When I have my quiet time with the Lord, just have that worship music playing. And I'm just sitting there and I just went, you know, this is my time and this is my space today with Jesus. And I'm going, Jesus, I really missed having my time with you today. It's just so good to be sitting here. And again, it was like just the tangible presence of God in that little hotel gym room as I'm sitting on the end of the treadmill, and I had like sensor lights. So the lights went out and it was just a bit of light coming. Just sitting there, I'm just like, oh, Jesus, can I just tell you about my day? I know you know all about it, but I just want to tell you about my day. And I just began to sense his presence. He just started to bless me and refresh me. And I'm just going, this is so cool. Just having this quality time with my best friend, Jesus. And I believe that's how we're meant to approach it. Not holier than thou, thus verily I say unto thee, almighty Goddeth, that thou O reigneth on highest. You know, it's just talking with him. And just, you know, just developing that relationship with him. So what happens when you start to do this? Can I just say, which again, I've got to harp on this, but I'm talking about a discipline. And you see, the problem is that when we get to this space, more often than not, something happens. Distractions happen. When you choose to stop in that time and space and you're approaching it as a relationship that you want to nurture and develop and grow, distractions start. I don't know about you, but all of a sudden it's a gazillion things. Oh, I forgot to get the washing off the line. Okay, got to cook dinner, got to do the grocery shopping. All right, got to get April to basketball. Ruby's got basketball training. Church this week. Okay, sermon. Okay, got to catch up with so-and-so. Got to get that done. Is anyone else like that? You stop. You stop for a moment and the distractions start. It's scary because like when we actually stop, we begin to realize how chaotic our inner life really is. And that's scary for some people. And I think that sometimes this is where people stop because they just go, I try and I just get distracted. And before I know it, instead of sitting down in the quiet, I've actually got off my butt and started to do the stuff that I've got distracted by and go, what was I? Oh, yeah, I was supposed to be praying. And some people stop there and they don't take it any further. Can I challenge you? We're talking about a discipline. You know, you talk about who's ever played a team sport of any kind? Synchronized swimming is not a sport. Yes, Mulyadi did synchronized swimming when he was younger, okay? That's why I said it. But you think about, okay, who learned a musical instrument? Anyone learned a musical instrument? Okay. Okay, so when you did that, you didn't just walk up to that instrument and just start playing Bach on the keyboard. You just don't do that. You don't just walk out onto the football field and suddenly kind of, you know, get 40 possessions and best on ground and, you know, in your first game. What do you have to do? Train. What do you have to do? Practice. And when you don't get it right, what do you have to do? And when your coach says you didn't get it right, what do you have to do? Do it again. How many times in footy training, just the most simplest of drills, and the coach said, didn't get it right, do it again. Really? Do it again. Go back and do it again. And we have to begin to get that mindset that the discipline of prayer is do it again. Try again. Don't let it beat you. I mean, the devil knows, and Michael touched on this with the whole kind of spiritual attack in terms of being effective in our Christian walk and effective prayers, going from just prayers to powerful prayers, there will be spiritual opposition. So he knows how to push buttons in your life to get you distracted or to, you know, those weak areas in our life so that we don't actually persist and push through in prayer. So whatever space you're in right now of prayer, maybe this is where you get stuck and stop. Can I encourage you? It's a discipline. Guess what? There's no easy. There's no magic wand that I can wave. There's no kind of special tricks that you can do except allowing the Holy Spirit to help you through this, which he wants to do. But it's practice and it's persistence and it's hanging in there. And when it doesn't work, try again. And when I'm sitting down and I'm sitting there and all the thoughts come through, maybe sometimes I've got to write them down. Sometimes I just got to try to put it to the side. And it's not about actually trying to fight those distractions that come in. Go, okay, it's there. I've acknowledged it. Now I'm going to let it pass me by. And one of the disciplines that you can put into place is to have something that you will focus on. One thing that you will focus on, and maybe a verse out of scripture that you just keep going back. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if you have that one thing that you focus on, well, just like those distractions come, let it go and go, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Keep going back to that one verse, that one line, and just keep going back to it and allow. Why? Because the word of God is powerful and it's there for the transforming and the renewing of our mind where the battle takes place. So a very practical thing, distractions will come. If you don't have distractions, you're a freak. And I say that in the most loving, caring way. But they will come. And if you go to sit down and it doesn't work, that's because you're normal. You're so normal. But the discipline, I can tell you, I was just chatting to a girl. I was asked to do something with the Compassion guys on Friday. And she said for Lent, she committed just to sitting in 10 minutes of silence every day, just to sit in silence with God. She said for the first 10 days, it was just horrible. She was just like awkward and just, you know, it was just horrible for her. And she said, but since then, those 10 minutes are the most precious part of my day. And it's just about persisting. And it's about keeping on going with it. The way I see distractions and those thoughts that come in, it's like jumping monkeys in a banana tree. You know, they're just jumping all over the place, just grabbing this and trying to get us off track. So when we enter our alone time, we start to see how chaotic our inner lives really are. And the reality is it's a hard thing to do. So, let's wrap this up. Last thing that I'll encourage you, time, space, approach it as a relationship. The last thing, and this is might be a bit weird, but position is important. By that I mean, maybe for you, sitting is okay. For me, I generally start off, just because of my personality, whatever, I'll use that as my excuse, but like I like to pace up and down. And I just start to pray, and when I just begin to spend time, and then I actually go and sit down, and then I just begin to wait. And just, you got to find what works for you. Like this what Phil does, having worship music playing and sort of like walking up and down just to calm myself and then to sit down may not work for you. And that's okay. It's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. But it's just a matter of finding what works for you. Does that make sense? So, in all of this, I pray that we can be a people that can engage in the solitude, in the aloneness with God. It's not an easy thing, but I believe it's one of our deepest desires that we can all grow in this year. And as I was thinking about it this week, I believe that, you know, each one of us is called to be a pebble in the shoe of the devil this week. I was walking this week and I was in a rush to get somewhere, and it's just those little rocks in my shoe. And it just did my head in. I didn't have time to stop and pull my shoe off and try to shake it out and keep going. I actually kept it and it's in my wallet just as a reminder. But my prayers this week and my alone time with God is going to be like a pebble in the devil's shoe. Or what about, you know, when you're at the kitchen sink and, you know, especially if you haven't got a dishwasher and you the spoon is there. How is it and why is it? Every time you turn the tap on, the water hits the spoon. Is it just me? And you just water just goes everywhere. It just happens. Let's be the spoon in the sink of the devil's destruction this week. Let our prayers just be the spoon in the devil's sink of destruction. So it just splashes all out on him and just annoys him, and we can just be a pebble in his shoe. But that's what I want our prayers to be like, that aloneness, that quiet time with the Lord. So there's some practical things that might help you that have helped me in my prayer times. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every person that's here today. Lord, I thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. I thank you that you care for us so much, that you love us so intensely and immensely, and you've demonstrated that through the gift of your son Jesus, so that we could have relationships, so that we could actually, every single one of us could come to you, into your presence, to spend time with you and to be reminded that you love us for who we are. And just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I pray that would be a great encouragement to some of you in the room this morning. That you would be reminded that your worth to God, and I would love to be able to say your worth to us as a church, is not based on what you can do. It's not based on looks or occupation, upon your education about where you've come from and stuff, but it's just simply for who you are. And there is a loving Heavenly Father that just wants to affirm you this morning and just say, hey, can we hang out this week? Can you just make time for me this week? Pick a place. And in fact, I just sense God is saying to people in this room, you pick the time and place, I'll be there. God's saying that to you. The creator of the universe is saying that to you this morning. You pick the time and place. How's that? How incredibly blessed are we that we can choose to come into the King's presence, and he's there waiting for us, wanting to tell us how much we love us, and he's wanting to give us the strength we need and the love and the care that we need for all that we're facing. That's a staggering thought, church. But this morning I pray that you would be blessed, that you would know that we have a God who loves you, that desires to have that quiet, alone time with you. That you would be challenged and even dared this morning, that this coming week you would do your very best to make that time and place for him. And just again, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around, but this morning I'm talking about having a relationship with God. We believe that that's through Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross and all that he accomplished, that we're about to remember and celebrate over Easter. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this morning, if you can't say you've got that personal relationship with God, and by that I mean you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of all your wrongs and to connect you back to a loving, caring God. If you've never done that, but you would like to do that today, you say, Phil, I want to start my relationship with God. I want to be able to talk to God in such a personal, intimate way. I want my relationship to be deeper, more meaningful. If that's you today, no one's looking around, can I just ask for you to slip up your hand? If anyone here today, I don't know everyone in the room, but if that's you today, can you just put your hand up? I'd love to pray with you after this service is done. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Could I ask us just to stand as we close this morning? We're just going to have a time of prayer just down the front. If you need prayer this morning, we believe that our God heals. We believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what whatever we could even imagine. And so this morning, if you've got a need in your life or you want to stand here on behalf of somebody else that can't be here, we're going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. But just want you personally this morning, for whatever, in whatever way you can or you're comfortable with, just begin to say, God, I want to develop this area of my life of prayer. I want to develop this area of aloneness with you. God, I want to stop. I want the busyness of life and everything. I want all the distractions that come. I want to get past that, and I want to be able to be in your presence and just be with you. Not distracted anymore. Not being pulled from pillar to post and all that stuff in the way. I just want to get to that place. And so
If that's you this morning, can you just in your own way, just have a conversation with God and just say, Father, I want to go to that place more. Maybe you already go there and that's great. And you just say, God, I want to go deeper with you. Maybe you struggle with the whole thing of distractions. You just say, God, I just want to get past those distractions. Father, I just come to you this morning and just help me. Holy Spirit, this morning, we ask that you would help just those of us in this room that desire to get past the distractions to the silence, to the quiet place, to the aloneness with you, to that rich, rewarding, fulfilling space with you, that we'd have the courage to persist and that we'd discipline and that if it doesn't work, we will try again. We will not be beaten by this, Father God. We will not be beaten by the distractions. But Father, we're going to press through into the quietness with you. I pray your blessing over your people today, Lord, those that couldn't be here. Father, just thank you for all that you're doing in our midst and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Great to have you in church today. As I said, if you'd like prayer, feel free to come down. We'd love to pray with you. But otherwise, have a super week and look forward to seeing you next week for our baptism service, which is going to be fantastic. God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.